Today on the Conservative Asian Podcast, conspiracy theorists everywhere are no longer called conspiracy theorists. They're called 100% absolutely correct. All this and more on the Conservative Asian Podcast. All right, guys. So, you know that here on this show, I tend at times to share with you certain conspiracy theories and things like that, just because they're interesting, just because I think that they're interesting, just because I, you know, it's, yeah, interesting, right? So, we're not talking about how, like, JFK is secretly alive and was gonna appear last year, or whatever kind of stupid thing that was, right? That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about, as much as I would have loved it, seeing Tupac alive at the halftime on Sunday, right? No, we're talking about sensible things, or things a little bit more in grasp. So, for example, that the Chinese Wuhan flu virus was man-made and created in a lab, not gained from bat soup. Like, even here, we originally reported that 3 years ago because that's the information, of course, that was on hand. Of course, at the end of last year, even, or at the start of 2021, we knew that it came from the lab right across the river from the wet market. Genetically modified gain of function for the novel coronavirus. Okay, other things that conspiracy theorists have gotten correct? The implementation of vaccine passports. I reported on this one too, almost a year and a half ago, I think, and said, it's going to come. It's going to come here to America. It's going to come here. It's going to be here. And sure enough, lo and behold, here we are. Here we are. I'm going to tell you right now, Hawaii is going to be one of the last states to open back up. We don't have fighters. All of this bullcrap talk about how, oh, the Native Hawaiians are warrior people and blah, 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 blah. I don't see any of that. Anyway. What else is there? Oh, that Joe Biden is a Chinese puppet. That has been confirmed just within the first year of his presidency. In fact, it goes all the way back to when good old Joe Biden was vice president. We have evidence all the way back from 2008. So, the latest one, and pat yourselves on the back here, truth seekers, truth tellers, because it's not a conspiracy anymore. Pat yourselves on the back because information has surfaced that the Clinton campaign had put into place spies in and for the Trump administration, meaning that they specifically had people that were investigating illegally President Trump before his campaign, before his presidency, during his presidency. And it goes even farther than that. And that they leaked that information to the Russians in order to make it look like Trump was connected to the Russians through a data leak or a tech leak or a tech spy, whatever, 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 man. If you're talking like, if you've ever watched Mission Impossible, you've ever watched James Bond, and I'm not talking about this new bullcrap one where they got to dress up and do whatever. No, I'm talking about real spy action. Okay? This is what we're talking about here. This is what we're talking about. So, it's been discovered, and of course, only, what, almost 7 years later, that we come to find out that this is true. So, tech executive identified as Tech Executive One in court filings and special counsel John Durham's criminal investigation into the origins of the FBI's 2016 Trump-Russia probe appears to admit that he shared data that was collected on Trump with CIA. In a new court filing by Durham, it says that the lawyers for the Clinton campaign paid a tech company to, quote, infiltrate servers belonging to Trump Tower and the Trump White House in an effort to establish an, quote, inference and, quote, narrative linking Trump to Russia. Oh my goodness. You want to talk about spies? You want to talk about illegality? You want to talk about all those kinds of things? Here it is. Here is proof positive that the Clinton campaign was paying spies to leak information about Trump to the Russians in order to make it seem like Trump and Russia were buddies. Of course, everything to the contrary was in plain sight. Trump was the one who put Putin in its place. Trump is a businessman, so he understands how to do business. And you could argue that politics is a form of business, so to speak, which is both a double-edged sword. So Trump released a statement saying that this investigation will provided, quote, indisputable evidence that my campaign and the presidency were spied on by operatives paid by the Hillary Clinton campaign in an effort to develop a completely fabricated connection to Russia. Correct. And here we go. The Trumpism part. Quote, this scandal is far greater in scope and magnitude than Watergate, which technically is true. And those who were involved in and knew about the spying operation should be subject to criminal prosecution. Correct. And here we go. Here's Trump. In a stronger period of time in our country, this crime would have been punishable by death. In addition, reparations should be paid to those in our country who have been damaged by this. So, he's not wrong. But we're talking about, you know, in times of war and things like that, you would, you know, basically shoot defectors and traitors. Am I saying that that's not appropriate? No. They should. It should be widely known. And of course it's not, because mainstream media is not doing a damn thing about it. But it should widely be known. These people should be caught. Because, again, we have our own hypocrisy here. Two former legislators were indicted on federal charges for criminality. I forget, embezzlement or something like that. And then, everybody's like, no, look at that. Oh, yeah, see, boo, Without ever realizing that it's only because these two idiots got caught. Not that it's still not happening. And of course, like blood in the water, the sharks come a-swimming to say, that's not me, that's not me, that's not me. I would never. I'm so surprised. I'm shocked. No, they're not. They're happy. Put it to you like this, okay? If you have gone above the speed limit in your area, okay? In traffic, there's multiple cars speeding along at the same speed you're going. And then it just so happens there's a cop with his little radar gun. And you think, oh, no, that's me. Cop gets in his car. You're trying desperately to, like, slow down, pretend like that wasn't you. And you're just like, oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap. And then you see the cop pull over the car next to you instead. And you think to yourself, ha-ha, I got away with it. That's exactly what's happening right now. Okay, our local politicians are nothing but scumbags. Because after all, if you've been there for a long time, what do you expect? So anyway, big bombshell report. Hopefully Durham does not become Epstein'd. And so, yeah, interesting to see what's going to happen next. Hopefully, we'll see heads roll, and hopefully not the good guys, at least. Yeah. It's pretty disgusting. It's pretty sad. And I think what's even more crushing is that people don't understand, or is that people still think that Trump is a bad guy, who still think that people like Ige, Green, Blangiardi, Caldwell, Biden, Harris, they still think that they're good people. They're not. They're not good people. Good people have nothing to hide. Good people don't talk in doublespeak. No. And yet here we all are. Right? Here we all are. And despite the said rollback and things like that, like yesterday, we didn't mention this. We mentioned the Super Bowl yesterday, but I'm telling you that kids went to school yesterday wearing their masks. 70,000 plus people in attendance at the Super Bowl without masks on. The elites without wearing masks on, together for God knows how long. Granted, the Super Bowl is about 3 to 4 hours long. That's not including the time that they get there before, or the time they get celebrating after. That's not including the time that celebrities are there before and after and all those kinds of things. So, what the hell, right? New York has fired nearly 1,400 municipal workers who refused to comply with the COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Again, Hawaii, we're finally number one again in something. Absolute bull crap. So, Democratic Mayor Eric Adams said, "Our goal was always to vaccinate, not terminate. And city workers stepped up and met the goal placed before them." Out of all the new city employees who received notices 2 weeks ago, only two who worked last week are no longer employed with the city. "I'm grateful to all the city workers." Blah, blah, blah. What a bunch of crap. While the report noted terminations represent less than 1% of the city's workforce, the losses have taken a toll on the city. The city's DOE has lost the most workers, with 914 staff members losing their job over the mandate. Huh. Sound familiar, Hawaii? So, I watched the city council meeting online. I think it was definitely was last year, right around September. I think September, October, when the city forced our city of Honolulu forced city workers to get the mandate or to get the vax or be fired. And in that report, I think I talked about it on the show too. In that report, they said, "Oh, it's only so this much amount of people," but we know that that's not true because of the way that the data has been broken down and the way that they categorize the individuals with or without the vaccine, got one dose, no vaccine exemption. We know that the numbers aren't true at all, and in fact, it's in sitting in that thing and looking at the screen and looking at the numbers, I knew that those numbers weren't correct at all. So, are things going to change here in Hawaii anytime soon? The answer is going to be no. I had hope, you know, I had hope thinking because of the trend. And again, Hawaii is the copycat state for the most part. I'd say like 99% of the time, Hawaii is the copycat state. But then I was reminded that while even the blue states, the bluest of the blue, were opening back up, Hawaii still remained locked down. and that dashed all hopes whatsoever. In fact, I'm not even so sure that getting a new political party in is going to undo the damage that's left. It is quite a disgusting predicament happening. And who's to blame? It ain't the unvaxxed. Let me tell you what, it ain't any of us. We'll be right back. Meanwhile, here at home, we still haven't figured out what to do about COVID. I mean, they have figured it out. We're going to stay locked down forever. But we're starting to see more and more stories about COVID recovery, COVID this, COVID that, and oh, the recovery time is so terrible. If you've ever been sick for a long time, I mean like a week, like you've been hit hard and you've been out for like a week. I remember when I was really young, I think I had the flu when I was really young. I couldn't get out of bed, couldn't move too much, I wasn't eating. You know, I remember a time when I was older, same thing. I think I was out for like 4 days, same thing, you know. I think I had food poisoning or the stomach flu or something like that. And I just, not to make it very graphic, but you know, you do what you do when you're sick, you vomit, you do all this kind of stuff. And I remember cramping up like my chest muscle area and my stomach area so much because it wasn't happening. So it was miserable, very miserable time. But you know, once I got better, it took a while. It took me maybe like another 3 or 4 days to get back up on my feet and feel normal again. And probably took me 2 more days after that to feel 100%. So the real concern is how they're talking about what's called long COVID and the recovery, quote unquote, from long COVID. Right? Because we still don't know. Unimaginably, we still don't know the lasting effects of COVID, which is, I think, incredibly dumb, depending on how you were treated for it. So, for example, if you were treated by being on a ventilator, there's a lot of scar tissue involved that needs to be repaired or worked through, right? You're talking about, you know, things like brain fog. Well, of course, your entire body is dependent on the amount of oxygen you receive. Not only that, but your body's own ability to process, you know, to work up on its own. Right? So, we're talking about some psychological damage, right? We're talking about recovery. We're talking about PT. We're talking about doing all kinds of things. And yet, you know, if you've been an athlete, if you've played any kind of sports and you injure yourself, there is sometimes the period of PT and recovery can be way longer than what you took to get to where you were before you were hurt or injured, right? A lot of it is a mental thing, okay? A lot of it is a mental thing. Of course, it's a physical. You can feel it. You're not as strong. You're not as fast. You have limited stamina, and that's to be expected. So I don't understand. Like, I don't understand. Probably one of the biggest, most damaging things about it is the fact that you have gone through a trauma. And what this should highlight is not the physical recovery, but the mental recovery that needs to happen. Right? the mental recovery, a lot of it is psychological. A lot of it is, you know, a part of the way that you're thinking, the way that you're approaching the situation, the way that you've been changed, because you've been in a hospital. You've had a gigantic 1-inch tube shoved down your throat in order to breathe for you for the last however many days that you've been in there. Unable to move, unable to go to the bathroom. You're conscious, but you're not, right? It is not a secret. Like, you know, people are just outrageous. I've known people who have gotten sick and they just went back to their daily lives. According to a article from the Star Advertiser, former TV news journalist Angela Keane accepted the reality that she was suffering from brain fog, a symptom of long COVID. Tell me, what medical diagnosis is brain fog? Huh? Following the initial infection, Keane said she felt foggy and would forget simple everyday tasks like changing the pee pads for her dog and had to rely on notes to get through her day. Really? Could it be the fact that she's, I don't know, 53? She also suffered from headaches, lockjaw, and mood swings. Could that be from, I don't know, the fact that she's 53? Could it... Huh? Who? What? And that's not to say that these things aren't real, or the things that she's struggling through isn't real. Things like depression, things like, I don't know, whatever else. Could it be those types of things? Right? Could it be? Like, did they give her any recovery medicine at the time, or even now, to treat the lasting effects? I don't know these things. Yeah. Again, that's not to say that these people aren't suffering. That's not to say that these people haven't suffered a trauma. That's not to say any of these kinds of things. After all, it would be very traumatic for you to be healthy one day and all of a sudden end up in the hospital the next and then having to stay in that place for any extended amount of time. Right? So, I get it. But, I mean, come on now. Jeez. Let's be a little bit more sensible here. As I've seen stories of people, they're just fine. Whatever. But you're never going to hear them report that. You're never going to hear them talk about those people. You're never going to hear about recovery stories that are great, fantastic, and wonderful. No. No. All right. So, who reported on this because it made breaking news, but the health department says that the Red Hill housing area water is now safe to drink. This includes 135 families in the area. Based on the extensive cleanup that occurred, the process and sampling data confirm that the contamination is removed and that the water in the zone 1H, or IH, I1, sorry, is safe to drink, according to Dr. Diana Felton, state toxicologist with the Department of Health. State officials said that only 10% of the homes are being tested, but they're spaced geographically to give them full confidence in the result. So they've tested only 13 homes. And those, and based upon that evidence of only 13, that's sufficient. Which, logically, I guess it's supposed to make sense. It's a representative sample. So my easiest solution would be to make all the politicians drink that water. Period. Make the DOH drink that water. Make them all drink that water for, I don't know, forever. See what happens. That is my response to a lot of the accountability that doesn't happen when it comes to politics, right? And that's my biggest thing, that accountability matters, because that trust matters. How are you supposed to trust them? Right? Like I mentioned before, how does your council member, how does your state representative understand the woes that you face day to day when they're absolutely separate from those concerns, when they are disconnected in such a way because their kids don't go to your school? They don't live in your neighborhood, your area. How? How then could you possibly know? Or they know, for that matter. So, yep. It is one of those things, again, that, you know, they try to make up for. Yeah. So, it shall be a sight to see. And we'll end it there today. We'll end it there today. A little bit better. This has been the Conservative Asian Podcast, and we'll catch you guys next time. Without masks on, the elites without wearing masks on, together for God knows how long. Granted, the Super Bowl is about 3 to 4 hours long. That's not including the time that they get there before, or the time they get celebrating after. That's not including the time that celebrities are there before and after and all those kinds of things. So, what the hell, right? New York has fired nearly 1,400 municipal workers who refused to comply with the COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Again, Hawaii, we're finally number one again in something. Absolute bull crap. So, Democratic Mayor Eric Adams said, "Our goal was always to vaccinate, not terminate, and city workers stepped up and met the goal placed before them." Out of all the new city employees who received notices 2 weeks ago, only two who worked last week are no longer employed with the city. "I'm grateful to all the city workers, blah, blah, blah." What a bunch of crap. While the report noted terminations represent less than 1% of the city's workforce, the losses have taken a toll on the city. The city's DOE has lost the most workers, with 914 staff members losing their job over the mandate. Huh. Sound familiar, Hawaii? So, I watched the city council meeting online. I think it was, it definitely was last year. Right around September, I think. September, October, when the city mandated, city forced, our city of Honolulu forced city workers to get the mandate, or to get the vax, or be fired. And in that report, I think I talked about it on the show too, in that report they said, oh, it's only so this much amount of people. But we know that that's not true. Because of the way that the data has been broken down and the way that they categorize the individuals with or without the vaccine, got one dose, no vaccine exemption, we know that the numbers aren't true at all. And in fact, it's in sitting in that thing and looking at the screen and looking at the numbers, I knew that those numbers weren't correct at all. So, are things going to change here in Hawaii anytime soon? The answer is going to be no. I had hope, you know, I had hope thinking because of the trend. And again, Hawaii is the copycat state for the most part. I'd say like 99% of the time, Hawaii is the copycat state. But then I was reminded that while even the blue states, the bluest of the blue, were opening back up, Hawaii still remained locked down. And that dashed all hopes whatsoever. In fact, I'm not even so sure that getting a new political party in is going to undo the damage that's left. Yeah. It is quite a disgusting predicament happening. And who's to blame? It ain't the unvaxxed. Let me tell you what. It ain't any of us. We'll be right back.